Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Another great episode for you. I'll be honest, I found this guy in TikTok. Loved the cover that he did of Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby. Sent it to Shannon. Shannon loved it. And then she's like, I'm a big fan of this guy. I've been following him forever. So then I was like, let's get this dude on the show. Really cool dude. His name's Marty Ray. He fronts the Marty Ray Project. Just an interesting dude. Performs a few songs live and just was interesting to talk to. Super cool dude. Really enjoyed the episode. James Madden steps in and does this with me as well. And remember, we do it every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Head on over to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code SDR. Get 20% off the entire network. Or just listen anywhere you listen. That's all I really care about. Why am I continuing to talk? Let's jump right into it. It's Marty Ray. It's the SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hoe. It's beat, I beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, it's far. You need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me, the second most popular or most common. Is it common is the right word? Most often?
I think that's better than popular because I have a feeling I'm probably hated by the audience. No, thank you.
But most, yes. Because also, by the way, most common sounds like an insult, but most often, I think, is probably the best way to put it. Co-host is James Madden, who recently on our Dave Ellison of Megadeth interview got top billing over me in Guitar Magazine, and that really pissed me off.
Which I used to read Guitar Magazine, so this is a huge victory. This is like a big W in my life.
I don't know how that happened, but it pissed me off. I'll just say that now. All right. So right now, a dude that we are all fans of. Let's start with that. And you might know him from his cover songs, but I would say I'm also a fan of his original songs. Just a fan of him back in the day when he used to do parody songs. Dude's been around. By the way, I think I could be wrong, but I think he was in the podcast game before fucking most people were in the podcast game. It is Marty Ray of the Marty Ray Project. How are you, buddy?
I'm wonderful. How are y'all?
I would say that if I had that beard, it would probably take me 6 years to grow that beard, I would imagine. Is that fair?
You couldn't grow this beard. This is a God-given thing. Yeah.
Are you saying I'm too feminine? Is that what you're trying to imply?
I'm just saying God gave this beard to one person, and it was me. Right. Yeah.
For a long time, early on in your career, the beard was a big part of the music.
The beard is actually the only reason I'm in music, I would say. That's what kind of launched my whole career. Yeah, the fact that I grew a full beard.
You did that cover song, I guess, like not a cover. It was more of a, what they call parody. A parody song of It's All About the Beard instead of It's All About the Bass. That was one of the early ones, right?
That was the first viral video. Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. That showed that you also, because by the way, not knowing you much, but knowing those, you said, oh, this guy not only can sing, but he has a sense of humor.
I hope that people think that, surely.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly.
I like to giggle a little bit.
Yeah, you should see when James gets naked, we all giggle.
We all giggle. We haven't stopped from the first time. Yeah.
I was giggling. He's not even naked. So
look, it's working. The charm.
Yeah.
The charm doesn't stop.
I can only imagine.
Even in a journey shirt.
Yeah. I can only imagine what it's like.
Yeah. So when you started in podcasting first, right? Is that like, not first? I know you started out as a, I think you were followed in your dad's footsteps, and you were a tow truck and worked in a tow truck company, right?
Man, you must have been listening to some old podcast interviews or something. Yeah, it is.
I do research, my friend. I'm not just winging it. I'm not just a pretty face.
Yeah. I was wondering if you were if that's all you were or not.
Yeah, just a pretty face without a beard.
Yeah, just a pretty face that can never have this beard.
Let me ask a question though. Before we get the answer to that question, when you look at James and I, two guys with no beards. Do you look down upon it? Does it make us feel, do you think we're less manly?
100%.
Well, I can grow one.
That's a joke. Don't put that out on the airway.
I mean, I have a little scrub right now. Can you see that? Like,
there you go. There you go.
Not much.
But. Sir, I can grow because I'm Italian and probably half Jewish, but I won't do the swap. But yes, I can grow one, but I like the whole clean shaven thing. Also, can I just say this? It's when you have a good Southern accent like you do, you need a beard. It's just it's hand in hand. It's peanut butter and jelly. It's all that, man. That's you can't go without it. You needed that beard to, as the accoutrement with your wonderful accent.
I love that accoutrement.
Accoutrement.
You know what's funny about naked? What's funny about you saying you're Italian? When I was growing up, Italians covered my whole room on the walls. I had posters of Italian mafiosos all over my walls.
Oh, like legit mafiosos or like movie mafiosos?
Well, movies and like Lucky Luciano and the real deal. Yeah.
Wow.
I was weirdly into that whole thing.
Subculture.
Yeah. I watched documentary after documentary about the mafia. And eventually when your dad's a small business owner, when you grow up, you go, hey, they weren't very good to the small business owners. My dad would have been like killed or murdered or something because he wasn't going to pay them protection.
Or shook so, down, yeah.
I don't know if there was a lot of a big, strong mafia contingency in Arkansas, though.
No, there probably wasn't. Yeah. Actually, I take that back. Hot Springs, Arkansas, I believe a lot of mafia people went to Hot Springs, Arkansas, believe it or not. It was like I think Al Capone at some point went there or something. There's this old story where all the mafia guys hid out at the Hot Springs, Arkansas area.
Really?
Yeah. Hot Springs, Arkansas.
I think I told this story, James, when you were on with that guy that was like in The Godfather. I always forget his name. Shannon, Marlon, do you remember
Brando?
His name?
Johnny Rizzo. We had Marlon Brando, first episode. We came out of the womb with this podcast, sir, running.
I don't feel like I'm worthy to be on here. What the hell? Y'all really going downhill.
Second episode of the cat that was in his arm.
Johnny Russo?
Yeah. Oh, Johnny Russo, yeah, who was in Godfather. And I told the story. I used to run a restaurant, and in the back of the restaurant, there were all these mafia guys that were like super connected mafia dudes. You'd see them in the paper like a week later. Oh, that guy's not there anymore because he went to jail. And one time for someone's birthday, they brought in a violinist. And my host had to go tell them, hey, man, you know, there's 100 other people here eating. Can we not have the violinist? They didn't ask us. They just showed up with the violinist. And they knocked the host out in one punch, knocked him out, and said, well, we'll let you know when we're done.
Wow. See? That's why I loved them so much back in the day.
That was pretty crazy.
I always wanted to be a tough guy, you know?
You know what's funny? But how tall are you? A big dude? You're big. How tall are you?
How tall you think I am?
Ooh, that's a good question. Oh shit! Let's take that question. I'm gonna go first.
Go
5'10". Don't you, James?
I'm a 5'11½" guy because I feel like his tone was that you think he's 6 foot and that he's on the cusp, and that's what the rub would be.
91. Yeah, Shannon. 6'2".
Okay, so let's see.
You know what's funny is most people think that I'm the height that she just said, but I'm actually only 5'10".
Damn. So you look at Ralph right on the nose.
But you know what? In my boots, I'm 6 foot, maybe 6 foot one. So
you know that's one of my lines. Very often, a girl will say I'm like I'm 5'8", but I'm 5'11" in heels or whatever. A girl says that to
right.
me. So when someone asks me my height, I say I'm 6'5", but I'm 6'9" in heels.
There you go. Are you actually 6'5"?
Yeah, I'm still a little over. Yeah, a little over 6'5".
Son of a gun, a big boy here, huh?
Yeah, so I have the...
You're not just pretty.
I have the illusion. People think I'm tough because I'm so big, so nobody fucks with me. But really, I'm a giant puss. I have no...
Yeah, I can tell that.
Yeah. Well, we're all on the same page now, for
I'm
sure.
I'm just messing with you. You look like a tough guy to me, buddy.
I am not a tough guy at all, my friend.
I'm terrified, just so we're clear.
That's fair. I do give off Frankenstein monster vibes. We've established that on the
6'5", really? Wow.
Yeah.
What I'm terrifies a big dude. You, his height or that salmon shirt? Let's just be honest.
This is pretty. It's a pretty color.
You can only wear that color if you're 6'5".
That's the rules.
Yeah. I got all black on. I got to look very, you know, 5'10", I better look imposing. That's why I got the beard.
Yeah, you are. I think more, though, if the two of us were walking down the street independently, you are the more imposing looking figure than I am. I think so. Anyway,
people are just, you know, naturally scared of me sometimes. I don't know why, but that does happen.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think, who knows? But anyway, so to go back to where I started, you were a tow truck. You worked for your family as a tow truck driver, right? Or worked in the tow truck world. The part that amazes me in hearing your songs and your voice is you were told time and time again, you can't sing. You're not going to be a singer, right?
Right.
And who was telling you this?
Well, there was many people in my high school, in my school in general, you were kind of raised, you were bred to dream within your own city limits type deal. So I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, and raised in Arkansas in Blyville. And I hate to knock these people, because if they ever listen to any of these, which they probably don't, because they don't really support me that much anyway. So, you know, the funny part is I don't want anybody to think I'm mad. I'm not mad. It worked out exactly like it was supposed to by God. So, but the funny thing was, is we were taught where you think you'd be taught in the high school to follow your dreams, go after it, do what you love doing. But that wasn't the way it was in my high school. It was kind of, we got a steel mill in Arkansas in Blyville called Nucor, biggest steel mill, probably biggest steel mill producer in the world, called Nucor Yamato. And we were kind of taught, if you weren't an academia superstar or something like that, or athlete that was going somewhere, then you better get right and get prepared to get a scholarship that would lend yourself to getting a job at Nucor, a good job. And it's a fantastic job. Don't get me wrong. Those guys probably make more money than I do now, but you see these guys and they all work there for a while. They're happy at first, but then they end up hating their job. So anyway, we were kind of taught that. So I didn't go that route. I also had a dad who always owned a business. So I was always working, never got to see Saturday morning cartoons. Still mad about that, because I had to work at my dad's shop every weekend, every Saturday. And I still give him crap about it. So, I missed a lot of Saturday morning cartoons.
You could catch up with them now, by the way, if you want to.
I really can. But there's some that are hard to find. Like I always wanted to watch the old, the one that had Wayne Gretzky. It had Michael Jordan. Pros. What was it? Super Pros?
I think it was like the Super Pro. Ralph's not a sports guy. This will blow his mind. They decided to put Bo Jackson, Wayne Gretzky, and was it Michael Jordan? No.
Jordan. Yeah, I think it was.
Michael. Wow.
And they were superheroes. And then they would also do live action, like PSAs, and they would also like ask them questions. Like viewers would send mail and be like, what do you do before the game? And they all be like boring answers. Like, we like to nap and eat vegetables. It's always something like that.
Wow, I never heard of that. That's crazy.
It was Pro Stars was the name of it.
Thank you, Shannon. So continue, Marty. I'm sorry.
That didn't take too well to me, that message, because I didn't even get to see it. I always wished I could have saw those. You can't really find those now. But anyway, so I just kind of, because I always had this ability to sing. God put it in me from birth. I always say, when I came out as a baby, I cried and sounded like a song. My mama said it sounded like a song. That's not really true, but people don't catch the joke sometimes. They think that I'm telling the truth. How would I know she said that? I was a baby. But anyway, I had to explain that to somebody one time. He's like, did your mama really say when you cried as a baby, it sounded like a song? And I said, of course not. I mean, if she did, I don't know. But who cries and it sounds like a song? Nonetheless, I'll try to make this as quick as possible. I'm long-winded. I'm like a Pentecostal preacher. I don't know if you know what that is or not, but I'm long-winded.
It's great.
Anyway, sometimes it's hard to get people to talk. So y'all got to reel me in a little bit. So I'm doing what daddy wants me to do. I'm following in his footsteps. Not that I want to. I'm looking for every out that I can find, because I hate working on cars and I hate towing them and I hate getting up in the middle of the night all during the night, not getting any sleep. And so I'm looking for everything I can, but music was never taught to me to be a way that I could actually foresee getting out. It was always something else that I was trying to do, even getting a job at Nucor, because my family were, I'm not knocking them, but they were, and still are. And I think it's probably the general way that every family is in America, probably, unless you're in certain ones, you're a realist. So you say, well, this is not realistic. That's a one in a million shot for you to actually ever make a living performing or writing songs or any of that. It's just not going to happen. That's kind of how my dad was. He never said I couldn't sing. That was some of my other family. They actually said I couldn't sing. They sang wonderfully and still do. And they say today that they didn't say that, but And I'm not going to put them on blast and say, here's the names. Right. But they – I always wanted to sing like them in church, and I wanted to – and I still look up to them. They're amazing singers still to this day. And I wanted to be like that. I wanted to do that. And so during Christmas and Thanksgiving and holidays, we would go to the church and we would jam and whatnot. And there was one time that I really thought I was killing it. You know, I forgot we were singing some gospel song. Cause you know, I grew up listening to black gospel music. I don't know if y'all ever heard any of that or not, but
oh yeah.
Stuff like Shirley Caesar, you know, I remember mama in a happy way. Y'all ever heard that song?
I haven't. I'm a Jew boy from Brooklyn. I've never heard it.
Well, you ain't. Yeah, you long ways from hearing that one there.
So the irony, when Ralph was born, his mom says that he was crying that song. That's the irony. that's the rumor I heard, dog.
Isn't that weird?
That's so wild.
Yeah. So I was singing something to the extent of that and thought I was killing it. And then, you know, you stop to get the adulation, get the praise. You look back and they're like, maybe you should play the drums.
Wow.
What do you mean? You didn't like that? I was like, you didn't like that? And they're like, you know, you just want to be the lead singer and it's just not your calling or whatever. And I was like, how do you know that? And then, of course, you know, it makes you mad and you attack them and it causes a fight. But in reality, your feelings are just hurt. So that happened. And that kind of it happened for a reason, because it kept me from pursuing it at a young age, which was good in the end. Because by the time I started actually pursuing music, I was in my 20s, late 20s, had children. So the things that I would do, the decisions I would make were vastly different than the ones I would have made at 18 years old. Because I was already married, had children, and I knew there were some things I was not going to do and still won't do. So it worked out the way it was supposed to.
But let me ask you this on that. Do you listen or have any tapes of you from back then, and you're like, oh yeah, I got a lot better as a singer? Or were they just shoving you down? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you were able to hear back, do you think you have developed into being a much better singer?
I really don't know. It could have been that case. I could have just sucked. But I mean, I didn't do anything to learn how ever. People say, sometimes people will message me and say, hey, I need you to teach me how to sing. And I'm like, I don't even know if I sing right.
Okay. So, but it is possible that you did get better. Who knows, right?
There's could no way be to possible. Know. I grew up mimicking other people. That's how I grew up started.
Right.
As a young boy, mimicking, like I said, the black gospel singers, Mahalia Jackson, Rance Allen, those type of people. And then that morphed into R&B, Boys to Men, these type of people. And then that morphed into Al Green, who's still to this day one of my favorites. People like that. Then that kind of got into the blues, B.B. King. Then B.B. King kind of introduced the – because I always had that countryside, because my mom listened to country. And oddly enough, she listened to country and black gospel all the time. And I was always – when she would listen to country, I would say, hey, turn that off and let's listen to Shirley Caesar or somebody like that, because I didn't like country music. That was old people music to me. Until I went and saw Garth Brooks at 12 years old at the Pyramid in Memphis. And then I saw that concert. And I became a fan of Garth Brooks.
Yeah, I heard you tell that story. What I liked about that story is that you said that your mother loved country, so you didn't want to listen to country because that's what your mother listened to. And I think it's funny that your rebellious music was gospel music. That makes me laugh. It's like, fuck you, mom. I'm listening to gospel.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a funny way to put it. Yeah. Yeah, I never thought about that. I'm going to start telling it that, just like you just did.
the one gospel guy that I heard you mention, I don't know much about gospel music at all, but I only knew his... He had a pop hit once, was Kirk Franklin. He had one huge pop song that was great. So I got a kick out of him. I liked him a lot. And also, you know, R&B I grew up with. My mom was a big R&B fan. So
name some.
To the R&B. To who?
Name some.
I grew up with Luther Vandross and Al Green and all that. I mean, I loved Boys to Men. I loved all that stuff. I could get into, I've heard this, told the story a million times, but I was a break dancer. I was very into hip hop, R&B when I was a kid. But we beat that to death on the show, so you don't need to hear all that.
Look at some past episodes.
All right, before we go any further, if you are an auto mechanic, a super cool do-it-yourself guy, or just some dude who loves working on his own car, I want to tell you all about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best impossible prices. Your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. RockAuto.com has been in the business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to counter guys who need to order the parts or aren't even really sure what you're looking for. Never quite have what you need anyway, and even if they do, you're still going to get charged storefront markups. Not at RockAuto.com. They make it easy to find everything you need, whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or just some dude working on his own car. You all have access to the same incredible pricing at RockAuto.com. So if you're a car guy right now, go to RockAuto.com. Check out all the parts available for your car. You're just going to enjoy browsing and looking, and you'll probably end up buying something at a phenomenal price. How do I know it's phenomenal? They don't even have a promo code. They just want you to shop at rockauto.com. But make sure you tell them you heard about them on the SDR show. Let's get back into it.
So you started doing, let's say, musically, if this is fair, you have two albums and an EP out of mostly originals. And some covers sprinkled in there. And a third album, I believe aptly called Third, on the way this year. Is that right?
Called Three. But yeah, Three. There's actually only one cover that I've ever released, and that was Ice Ice Baby. And the only reason that was released, was because Vanilla Ice and I became friends, and he was going to cut that with me. Mm-hmm. And so I did my part. I did my part in the studio. And just so happened, he never got time. It wasn't that he was evading me or nothing. He's a busy fella. But I wanted to release the album, and he couldn't get it done, his part done before then. So I said, since I already recorded it, I paid the money, so I'm going to go ahead and release this song. So
that song, it's funny, is that that's a gateway drug for Marty Ray stuff. I would imagine most people discover you through that, because that's – although – It's good. The congratulations. If you look on Spotify, your second most popular song is an original, which shows that the cover is the way that gets people into you, but then going to the originals as well, which is important. But what I find fascinating is I have to imagine you and Vanilla Ice have the same relationship to that song. And what I mean by that is it's the song that made your career in a way. And then at one point you like almost annoyed that that's the song that everyone knows you by because you have so many other songs, and I imagine you both have that in common.
Well, the funny thing is the difference between me and him is that's his actual original song, even though it was sampled by it was the sample of Under Pressure, but all those words are his.
Yeah,
none of those words are mine. The only thing that's mine is the arrangement. So it is kind of annoying sometimes, but also you got to be. I thank Jesus every day that I have a song that has 200 plus million views across all platforms and that so many people love it and they listen to it. But also there's the flip side. You want people to know, you wish every one of those people would at least go and listen, give your originals a shot. That's kind of the way you want. That's the ideal situation that you want to happen, but it doesn't happen that way. A lot of people, I made a post on my Facebook just last week, saying, because people will say, why don't you try writing your own song, stop stealing people's music? And I go, hold on a second now. Whoa. And I sometimes don't respond at all, but sometimes I'll say, now it's okay if you attack me, but go ahead and check first, because I got three albums released that are all originals and several more original. I got original playlist on YouTube. So check, but it's okay if you don't like the originals, but at least go listen before you start knocking me. So that's the only thing about it that bothers me, is that people don't always go and look and see if, hey, does this guy have albums out? They always go and find other covers.
Right. Yeah. I also, who was it? Fucking Cowboy Cerrone used one of your originals a couple of years ago, right? That's cool as shit that he used Bleed on the UFC package. That had to make you really happy to see that happen.
That's my dream, actually. That's my dream in music, is to have my original songs to be used in television, film, sporting events, things like this. That's my...
We had a guy on this show. Oh, fuck. I'm not going to remember his name. But that was his specialty. He was a really cool dude. He's made millions from getting his songs into movies and TV shows. And you don't know him. People don't know him, but you know his songs because they were everywhere. I can't think of the name of the guy. I don't know how Shannon Howe would even look that up, but he was
White Buffalo or something.
I can't remember his name.
Was it Zade Wolf?
Zade Wolf. Wow, Shannon, good for you.
Wow. A lot like White Buffalo. I mean, it is close.
I think that's his real name. I think that's his real name. His real name is White Buffalo.
There it is.
I mean, maybe.
Zade Wolf, yeah. The stage name for White Buffalo would be the best.
But he has like all of his songs have like, you know, hundreds of millions of views, and it's all through the movies they were in or the TV shows they were in. He definitely rewrote the game on how the fuck you do that. It's pretty wild.
And it sounds like you need to connect me to.
Yeah, I'll put you two in touch. Sure.
Buffalo, shoot.
So now, you started
White
out.
Buffalo, baby.
By the way, I'll only introduce you if you only refer to him as White Buffalo, no matter how many times.
I will always call
you.
Him White Buffalo, and I'll call you whatever you want me to call you.
Sure. So now you started out before music and podcasting. Is that right, or is it during the same time?
Well, like I said earlier, I've always sang, so I've always loved music. Always wanted to do it. Didn't think it was realistic, as I said earlier. But people don't really know this, but the main thing I wanted to do for real, more than music, was be a radio DJ, have my own talk show. That's what I wanted to do. And I don't know if you can tell or not, but I like to talk. Can't tell that probably.
You're outstanding, sir.
I'm gonna have to ask White Buffalo his thoughts on that.
But ask White Buffalo. Yeah, we'll get him on here. We'll do a joint interview, me and White Buffalo. But yeah, so I wanted to. My dream was to have a talk show like Howard Stern had. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. Not that I'm a fan of Howard Stern, but he was a groundbreaker in creating a show that is actually a video TV. You know, E. He was on E and all that stuff. I thought that was the coolest thing ever, and I said someday I want to do that. So when I found out about podcasting, it was like 2007 or something. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't have to wait on them. I don't have to go to school. I don't have to do any of that. I can start podcasting. And this is essentially like a radio show. And so we did it, and we're trying to get guests. And I remember back then having to explain what a podcast was to every guest. And then radio guys, I think one of y'all's a radio guys. It's probably, I figured I could tell by the voice. So face. All the radio guys, you say if this is you or not, they scoffed at podcasts back in the day, right? That's true, is it not?
It is 100% true. My opening, I've said this a lot of times, my regular co-host, Jay, the first time he approached me to do a podcast, my response was, podcasting is for people that can't do radio. I'm already doing radio, so thanks, but no thanks.
That's right. That's exactly the word. Anytime you talked about podcasting to a radio guy, they knocked it down, boy. It was for people that couldn't do what they did, and they were supreme. And now podcasting is supreme, and radio guys, and now podcasters, I don't know if they look at radio guys that way, but there's big time podcasters don't want to be in radio. Like Joe Rogan, he ain't looking for no radio deal. You know? Right. So my point is, I knew that this was the future. Podcasting was the future. I wish I would have stuck with it. We did it for about 2 years. It was hard getting guests, like I said at first, but then I ended up getting Darius Rucker on because I named the podcast Mem Nash Radio, Memphis Nashville Radio, because at the time I actually lived in Memphis, and I named it Mem Nash Radio. And so he thought, he probably still does, that it was a radio station because of the name. Mm. And he came on, and we had hardly no listeners at the time. He was one of the early guests. And then we built a pretty good following on there, and then All About That Beard. I was doing a few. I did a song of a cover of a hymn called Great Speckled Bird. And after I did that, that kind of got like, I think I made a video and it got like 30,000 views. And I thought, wow, I'm famous now. So I might have to get some help. Like I got to hire a team, you know, thought I was really doing something. And then, but I was still towing cars. And so the podcasting kept continuing, but then All About That Beard came out. And that went viral. So it was getting harder and harder to do all the podcasts. Like I was doing everything, editing, booking guests. I was kind of running the show. And I always wanted a co-host, kind of like what you have here. I never had a producer, always was doing it myself. And it was getting tiresome to do that and also try to be consistent and post to music, making albums, things like that. So it kind of went away, but we actually came back a year ago.
But it looks like, as I was going to ask you, it looks like you the one called Chats, the newest one, is from August. Did you stop doing that?
No, we didn't stop doing it. The whole plan with that one was I knew that my schedule was not going to allow me to be able to just do it in perpetuity, so I knew I was going to have to do it in seasons. So that was season one. Mm-hmm. The Marty Ray Project Chats is the name of it. I knew it was going to be, and at this point, it was better anyway because I have access to more people.
Right.
To guest on. And eventually I'm going to just, maybe I'll just try to morph it into something that I don't even have to have a guest, because that's easier as well.
Much easier. So, take it from someone who made that mistake 7 years ago. But yeah, I tell you that is true.
All right. Before we do anything else, we want to tell you about our longtime sponsor that we love. It is YoKratom, YoKratom.com. If you don't know them by now, it's simple. They're the home of the $60 kilo. You might have seen all over the news, inflation everywhere is crazy. Gas prices, meat prices, rent, everything going up like nuts. Not at YoKratom.com. It's still the $60 kilo. High quality, curated kratom direct to you at YoKratom.com. YoKratom.com gets you wholesale prices on a bunch of different strains, different blends, all available at YoKratom.com. And you'll feel good knowing you're getting the best possible price. $60 for a kilo, and as Jay says, you'll feel cool ordering in kilos. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, sponsors not only this show, but most of the shows on the network, because they are super fucking cool dudes. So support the sponsors that support us, and here it is. It's YoKratom.com. What else do you need to know? Let's get back into it.
So the question, I have a lot of questions, but so you did a couple of parodies, you had originals. What was the first song that you made a genuine cover? Not a parody, but like, I'm going to put my Marty Ray Project spin on and do a cover.
I think every time you hear me play the guitar in a video, if you go back before Ice Ice Baby, they're all technically a Marty Ray spin, and only because I'm not that good at the guitar. That's mm-hmm. the reason. People think I'm some genius or something, but what's really happening is I just can't play it like the original. So What happens is I just try to play it the way that fits the way I want to sing it, except for Ice Ice Baby and things like that. And I did Nothing But a G Thing and Ice Ice Baby at the same time. I was messing with both of those. Mm-hmm. I didn't post Nothing But a G Thing for years. I think I just recently posted a video of me doing that. I could probably do a little bit of that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Let's see here. I know. I think I can remember this one at least. Let's see. Just so people know what I'm talking about here. Hopefully I don't mess this up.
That's going to be great.
Can y'all hear that?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
One, two, three, into the fall. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the door. Ready to make an entrance, so back on up. You know we about to wrap this up. Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble. Ain't nothing but a G thing, baby. Two loped out G's going crazy. Like this and like that and like this and up. Like that and like this and like that. And anyway, something like that.
Oh, so, it's so fucking good. God damn it. God damn it. That's good.
Not only do you actually play the guitar very well, you enunciate it better than anyone. You calling it guitar makes me feel good inside.
Guitar.
Forget the proper. It's guitar.
Yeah. Right on. So, So that's kind of how that came about.
That's really cool.
It was that one. And it was, I was messing with that one. And then one with the. Messing with Ice Ice Baby, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I hadn't posted in a while. I posted Ice Ice Baby. And
spectacular.
You know, and I love the story that I think it was from Darius Rucker telling you to just, you know, take every opportunity that you can. And then when people started telling you, I know Vanilla Ice, you just gave them all your phone number, like five or six times. You just said, yeah, go ahead, take my number. But eventually one of them actually did know him.
Man, you really did your homework.
I don't fuck around.
Here's what you should have done. Here's what you should have done. You should have had me sitting here. Like, you see how, what is her name? Shannon. Is y'all's name Shannon? You see how she's sitting there? She's been smiling the whole time. I don't know how she holds that pose like that. But I should have been able to do that. And you just told my story.
But it is it's a great story. It's really funny that did of the persons that you gave the number to, was Vanilla the only one to call back, or did you get some weirdos pretending to be Vanilla Ice, or did literally just the one guy calls you?
Well, considering I ran a record service in Memphis, West Memphis at the time for my dad, it didn't matter. They could have got my number anyway. So I figured it, at the very least, maybe I'll get a toe out of it, make some money. So it wasn't that big a deal as far as that goes, because my number wasn't hard to get. My number's still this exact same number to this day. So it didn't change. But no random weird calls that I know of, because there was always some random weird calls to the sponsors. So I can't tell you if one of them was them or not, but I was actually shocked when Vanilla Ice actually did call. And I answered the phone just like any other day, any other call. Glenn Ray's towing. You know, that's kind of how it went. He was like, "Hey, Marty Ray, what's up?" And I was like, "How you doing? Glenn Ray's towing. How can I help you?" Like that. And I didn't know who this was. And he said, "Hey, man, I love that Ice Baby you did acoustic. That's awesome." And I said, "Thank you so much. How can we help you?" Because I thought, who is this? I don't know.
A random dude.
I appreciate you, but he had to have known that I owned that my dad owned that business, and that it was somebody local that knew, that saw this, and then they're calling, whatever, just to, I don't know, get me to sing on one of their songs or something. Who knows? But I was like, "Hey, I appreciate it. Do we have your car, or what's going on? How can we help you?" And he goes, "Hey, it's Rob." And I said, "Right on. Nice to meet you, Rob. How can we help you?" You know? And he goes, "It's Vanilla Ice." I said, okay. Just like anybody would. Yeah, right.
Sure.
Growing up, rapping every word of Ice Ice Baby. Vanilla Ice is on my phone right now. My dad's record service phone line. I don't think so. And he said, "I want you to come out to Miami and play the show with me." I think it was the first show to the I Love the 90s tour. He said, "We're on this I Love the 90s tour. I want you to come out to Miami and play the show with me." I said, "If I see the email, I'll believe it." That's what I said. And I saw the email, and we did that.
It's funny, though. I could easily fake an email that says, you know, rob@vanillaice.com. It's very easy to fake. But he wasn't faking it, which is pretty cool.
If it would have been that, it would have been scary. But it was not that. It was his manager's email. He wasn't even the one that sent it. So it kind of seemed legit. But no matter what, that was a trip I was going to take regardless. And if it was a serial killer, he was in for a rude awakening when we got there.
And so I also, you know, I want to talk about some of the originals too, but a couple of quick things. I see you put a couple of covers up recently. The Papa Roach cover was really cool. And I loved a former guest on this show, the singer of Verve Pipe came on. You may have done it better than he did. I don't want to say throw shade at him, but it was a great version of Freshman that you did. How often do you start a cover song like, "Oh, I want to do this one. I think this would be cool." And maybe you can't figure out a way to make it work and you bail on it.
The only time I'll bail on one with it just being me is if I can't play the chord that I want to play to match my voice. So then what happens then is if I can get my buddy CJ, who is the guy who plays at every show with me, and I just hold my guitar to hide my fat belly. If I can get him to play it with me, then he can find anything that I want to sing. So,
right.
But if it's just me, then I'll look it up and I'll love it and I'll be playing it. And if I can't find a replacement chord or play the original chord, a lot of times people think that I'm changing these songs up, but really all I'm doing is I'm looking at the original chords and I'm just playing it differently because, like I said, I can't play it like they played it. So that really is what's happening. And then people say, "Well, what's the chord? You did that so much better." And I think that's just a blessing from God, because I am not a guitar player. I tell people all the time, I play guitar out of necessity, not out of love. I do love the guitar, but I don't play it because I love it. If I loved it, I'd sit in here all day and night playing until I was good enough to play for y'all right now, but I'm not. So when I play, if I do a cover, I have to practice that. If it's just me, I got to practice that over and over and over again so that I don't miss a chord. That's kind of, yeah.
Well, you sounded good to me, baby. I got one right over here, and you played beautiful.
I appreciate that. Did you play in the World Series of Poker?
No, I was doing stand up at the Rio at the Comedy Cellar at the Rio, and I saw. And this is just like a month ago, 2 months ago. They have the World Series of Poker 2019. I go, "This fits my brand. This is the best decision. Best $20 I'm going to spend this Christmas break."
You should have a better story than that, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You should have just said, "Yes, I want it."
Well, I play on the World Series of Poker app 5 times a day. That's no lie. I won a million. fictional dollars today.
That
Ralph.
Is not. There's nothing cool about that,
Ralph. I will take your money right now, sir, and I'll go to. I'll go meet up with my boy, and we'll eat Southern food, and we'll play guitars all night. And then I'll have to put up with you, you city slicker. That's right.
In one interview, you mentioned casually, you know, a lot of your original songs come from deep things that happened in your life. Like you said, Flowers, which is a song that's from 10 years ago. One of the saddest songs you ever wrote in your life, which is a beautiful song. But you said, Wait on My Love is a song about the time you almost died.
Yeah.
What actually happened? There was just a glossed over comment. And I don't know what actually happened.
Well, I decided I wanted to get my health right the one night. And I had, because I used to be in great shape, but I could show people pictures and it would shock them that that was me. But then when I got married and had my first child, my wife had my first child, I was just a part of it. And we had the first baby. I kind of just fell off of the eating right then, but I was still working out, and then eventually fell off of the working out as well. So then I just got fat. And one night, looking at my daughters, I think, you know what, I'm gonna get my body back in shape the way it should be. And so I go to the gym and I just go as hard as I did before. And next thing I know, I don't know what happened. We still don't know what happened, but I was passing out, and I finally made it back to the house. Shouldn't have probably made it back to the house by myself because I was alone. But I got back to the house, and then all of a sudden I'm sitting in the chair, and this people can believe this or not, but I'm feeling literally the sense of my life is leaving my body. I called my daughters in there, and I could barely talk. I had no energy, and I could barely talk. And I called my wife and I said, y'all need to pray for me right now, because I think I'm leaving. You know, I'm going. Jesus is exactly who we called. And so I'm sitting there, and we're praying, and then eventually my wife checks my blood pressure, and it was like, I mean, it was through the roof. She said you should be stroking out right now. And so she got me up, and she had to help me get to the car and got to the hospital. And by the time we were still praying, got to the hospital, before, right when we pulled in the parking lot, it all left. It was gone.
Wow.
Doctors checked and they did all these things and nothing. There was nothing wrong with me at all. So when I got back home, I had a whole new perspective on life. And I thought, wow, that's how quick could have just all been done right then. I started thinking about, man, I hope that no matter what I've done in my life, that the legacy that I leave this world and my family is that I lived with nothing but love for them, for even the ones that hate me, that I loved them. I hope that they know that. And I especially hope that my children and my wife know that. So that was kind of where that's. And then I wrote that song that night in one night. That song came to me. Yeah.
You probably should have maybe titled it. Should have got a spotter. Might've been a better thing at the gym.
Right. Should have got a spotter. Let me change it right now.
There it is.
I was in the gym one night by myself alone. Nobody there to help me when I fell over. Whatever rhymes with alone. Should have had a spotter with me, but didn't have any friends at the time, so I had to do it all over again. I'd have plenty this time, so wait on my love, watch for the snow white dove. Know that I stayed all strong, heart of devotion the world couldn't love. Wait on my love, my love. Anyway.
Wow. Fucking great. Great.
Jesus.
Amazing. What I really do truly appreciate about you is that you're not signed to a record label. I'm sure you got offered once these things went viral. You're basically doing everything on your own. I'm sure there's good and bad that comes with that. But the good outweighs the bad with all that, I imagine.
Well, when you're an old man like me, the good definitely outweighs the bad, because you get to spend more time with your children, with your family, and you don't have to bend your morals. You can They don't try to tell you not to mention Jesus, which you might not like me mentioning Jesus here because you're Jewish. I don't know.
I'm not religious, though. I don't care either way. I have no vested interest in it either way.
Well, not good, but not to me. But, yeah, it's good that you're not one of the ones that is vehemently against. They cringe when they hear, you know, somebody say Jesus, which is so crazy to me. But anyway, so I always said I'm with Jesus Records, and however far that takes me, however far it takes me, I'm going there. And that's where I'm going.
Fair enough. I have no – and also – one thing that I find interesting is I'm sure you get inundated with this. You do not take requests from people that want you to do a new cover song. Do this, do that. Is there one that comes in more than any of the others, or there's just a smattering all over the place?
There was one cover that I did that so many people kept requesting, but I did it at a live show. And sometimes I'll do covers of
was it Pride and Joy, by the way?
No, no, no. That one was always on the list.
Okay.
It was Tennessee Whiskey.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. So that one, when Chris Stapleton did his cover of that and it blew up, everybody actually thought he probably wrote it. I'm sure they all, that goes back to that same Ice Ice Baby thing. I know for a fact that he lives the same type of fortunate, unfortunate type of situation that I do with Ice Ice Baby. It's fortunate that so many people loved it, but unfortunate that they love that more than anything else you've ever done and maybe ever will do. And that's kind of where he sits, because he's got some amazing songs, but everybody wants to hear him sing Tennessee Whiskey. So it's kind of like that. That's the only one that I did and I put out that people requested over and over again. The only reason I don't do requests is because if I just start doing, and I tell people this every time, every message I get, I've gotten thousands of them. And I say, look, I get thousands of requests of people wanting me to do all kinds of random songs. Some of them are just way out there. They're just crazy songs. And I say, if I was to do that, that's all I wouldn't even have time in one lifetime to do all these requests. I said, so what I do is I do the songs that move me, and I hope they move y'all too. That's it. And I always say, I hope it moves you enough to where you'll go and say, let me see if this guy writes his own music to see where his heart is truly. And that's kind of what I tell everybody. But it ain't like I'm saying, hey, I ain't doing no song you want to hear. Sometimes they ask for a song that actually has already been done. That's what's funny. They'll say, like, I'll get a request for Simple Man every month. Somebody will say, gotcha, I'd love to hear you do Simple Man. I'm like, well, you need to go do some research, because that was done years ago. And actually Lynyrd Skynyrd heard it. Their people heard it and posted it on their website and posted it to their Facebook page and said it was the best stripped down version they'd ever heard.
Wow. We had the other guy that became probably equally famous for the cover. The band Shinedown was on here recently talking about doing that cover as well.
No, they were a lot more famous than me.
Yeah. But they did do. Yeah. Am I an idiot, Shannon, for not knowing Tennessee Whiskey? Are you going to yell at me for not knowing what that song is?
I'm only going to yell at you because I've mentioned it to you in the past so many times, and I've literally played it for you, and you forget it anyway, but you'll know it if you hear it.
Can you, I know you don't take requests, but could you sing one line of it? Because I'm not even sure what it is.
I don't do requests.
All right, fair enough. Sorry.
I just mess with you. It goes, used to spend my nights out in a barroom. Liquor was the only love I know. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottle. Brought me back from being too far gone. You're as smooth as Tennessee whiskey. You're as sweet as strawberry wine. You're as warm as a glass of brandy. And honey, I stay strong on your love all the time. Right?
I know it. That was fucking beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Jeez.
The original, though, you might have heard the original. Did you ever listen to any country music?
I know some, but I wouldn't call myself an aficionado.
I used to spend my nights out in a bar room. Liquor was the only love I'd known. That ring a bell, huh? George Jones. You ever heard of him?
I know the name.
So perfectly like George Jones. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
George Jones was dope, Ralph. He was like one of the dope. He's like considered like the best.
The possum.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
The stories of him are phenomenal.
I know one you've probably heard.
Let's hear it.
You want to hear it?
Sure.
You probably heard, he stopped loving her today. They'll hang a wreath upon his door. Soon they'll carry him away. He stopped loving her today. You ever heard that?
I've heard that. Fuck yes, sir. Man, you really have an incredible voice. It's wild.
That's the story to have in a country music, I think.
All right, let's take a second to talk about one of our newest sponsors. That is Zippix Toothpicks. If your New Year's resolution was to kick smoking cigarettes and you're still doing it in March, it might be time to switch over to Zippix. Zippix Toothpicks has supported thousands of people working on quitting that smoking and vaping habit with their sublingual absorption that gets you that nicotine buzz quicker. Zippix Toothpicks comes in 6 awesome flavors, and you can use Zippix anywhere. You're not allowed to vape or smoke because there's no smell, there's no smoke, there's no hiding cigarette butts, and best of all, it costs less than cigarettes. So if you're looking to quit smoking, might I suggest head on over to ZippixToothpicks.com to start your healthier alternative to smoking today. ZippixToothpicks.com. That's Zippix Toothpicks, plural, .com. All right, let's get back into it.
We don't have too much time left with you, but a couple of things I want to ask. One thing I found fascinating, I don't need you to recap the whole story, but basically, from what I understand, you were, I don't want to say losing interest, but maybe you got a new rekindled verve for music from B.B. King when you went to see him perform live.
If you were going to ask any story, this was the one you wanted on your show. I promise you that. Okay. This is wild. And I know you've already heard it because that's why you asked about it. But you're going to hear it again.
I want to hear it again. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's a lie, but this is all 100% true. Oddly true. So I'm at a B.B. King show on the front row in a theater type seating situation. And B.B. comes out and at this point he's in a wheelchair and they set him on the stage in the chair. He comes out, he starts playing, plays one song, looks out. He's trying to see his fans. He's going like this right here. And he can't see because the lights are in there. The house lights are down and the lights are in his stage lights are in his eyes. So he says, turn the lights up. And so they turn them up a little bit. He says, turn them all the way on. And he's looking at everybody. He just sits there, puts his hand on his hip, you know, and he's looking around. Y'all sure are some lovely people. And then he starts playing again, plays a few songs. They take the house lights back down, and now it's dark again. After that song, he says, no, I want you to turn the house lights back on. Then he plays the rest of the show with the house lights on. So here's this bearded, bald-headed guy up front just vibing to everything that BB's doing. And I'm just going like, you know, and I'm just doing this. My eyes are closed. And then in the middle of a song, this was so weird. In the middle of a song, BB's, and he goes, hold on, everybody, hold on. Hold on, everybody, hold on. And he does this with his hands. And everybody's looking like, what in the world happened? Somebody missed a note. Like, he's stopping the show because somebody missed a note. He's got a horn section, everything. And they all, you know, mm-hmm. He stops the show and he goes, he points at me, looks at me, he points over there right at me. And he goes, as long as that man right there is having a good time, so am I. Wow. The thrill is gone, baby. I said the thrill is gone. And I'm going, like, everybody's looking at me like, who is this guy, right? And I'm going, they're like, hey, man, you know BB? I was like, not personally, I don't know. I have no clue why this happened. So then the rest of the show, I'm in a trance wondering, what in the world is this? What's going on here? And so then at the end of the show, he wants everybody to come to the front of the stage. So because I was on the front row, I let everybody that wasn't getting that same experience get in front of me. So there was crowding around the front of the stage. And BB finishes his last song, and he has these guitar picks in his pocket, and he throws them to the fans because he loved his people. And he threw them, both sides threw them to his fan, and they spread out like in front of him. They didn't go very far because they were light. And these fans are getting up on stage, and they're trying to grab these picks, but the security is throwing them off of the stage, throwing these people off the stage. And BB's getting mad, and he's going, hey, I'm trying to let them have those picks, and I'll stop that. And they won't stop. So then BB gets so angry that he's got like 2 gold bracelets here, a gold bracelet here, and a gold necklace. And he pulls his gold bracelet off here, throws it over here because he gets make it. He can make it with those. And he pulls this one off here and he throws that to him, pulls this off and he throws all of his gold. He throws to the fans that are at the stage. So at this point, I'm thinking, I probably should have got at the front of that stage. You know what I mean? I could be wearing a BB King necklace right now to this day. But anyway, my story is still way better than theirs because afterwards, I knew the guy that booked entertainment at the Gold Strike Casino, which is where this was happening. I knew that guy, and he said, I'm going to try to get you back to see BB. I said, that sounds amazing, dude. So then I had my guitar with me. I wanted to get it signed in case I got to see him. So my guitar is with me. So all the people that were able to go see him in the green room were being led. After everybody left, they're being led beside the stage. It's like a dark, narrow type of hallway situation. And here's the stage entrance. And so you can't see anything. You're being led by a flashlight. And we're being led, and there's a row of security guards standing there. You know, they're kind of like this right here, standing there. And then as I'm walking by, this hand reaches out in between these security guards and grabs my hand and starts pulling me towards the security guards. So I'm being pulled towards them, and they're going, hey, you got to move on. What are you doing? I'm like, somebody got to hold my hand, man. And they look down, and they go, oh, shoot. And they split ways, and it's B.B. King in a wheelchair. He pulled me to him, and he said, I want you to know that I had a good time playing for you tonight. So and I said, so what? Yep. So, well, I mean, okay. Like, wow. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. He's like, I love you. You know, like, I love you, man. Mm-hmm. He goes, I love you too, son. And he said, what you got there? I had the BB King record, which is on my wall right now. There's a on my wall here in my office is a massive picture of BB King that he signed that night. A picture of me and BB and that record that he took from my hand at that. He goes, "Boss, well, show us a pretty boy, a pretty man back in the day." Huh? I said, "You still pretty to me, Mr. King." He took the sharp and he signed it. He said, "I'll see you back there." I said, "Yes, sir." And I walked back and waited in this long line. I wanted to be the last one in there because I wanted to see if I could get my guitar signed. As I'm waiting, I'm seeing people being – these are supposed to be his family members or distant family. I'm seeing them being turned away if they don't have a Gibson guitar because he was contractually obligated to only sign Gibsons. So I'm thinking, I got a Martin. So like this right here, this is the actual guitar. So this is a Martin guitar. I don't know if you can see this or not.
I see it, yeah.
That's B.B. King's signature, so – That'll just tell you what's about to happen. So I'm thinking I'm not going to get my guitar signed now because they're turning people away. They don't have a Gibson. This is not a Gibson. So as I'm watching, I'm the last one in line. I'm watching him do. He's being nice, but you can see that his energy's drained by the time that I'm about to walk in there. And he smiles for the picture and he says, thank you, baby. And then they leave and he's just like, you could tell he's just wore out and because he's an old man. And so then as soon as I walk in, he looks over and he goes, hey, my friend, cool. Like that. I'm going, what is happening, Lord? Like there is something divine happening here. And like you said, I was at the point to where I was just about done. I was like, they were right. This is impossible. This is impossible to do. And so it was like God said, no, I'm going to let Kings. Because it wasn't just BB, it was several of them. Charlie Daniels was the same way. It was several of these legends that was like essentially saying, keep going. There's something coming. So then I walk up and I hand my guitar to him. He looks up at the head of it, sees it's Martin. He looks up at me and he goes, I'm going to sign it anyway. And he signed BB King. I pull out that first album, that Countryman album, which was originally called Tow Truck Driver when it was first released. Because the one that's released now, it says 2015. That was a re-release because I was I had a manager back then. That's a long story. So anyway, I handed him that first album that I'd made. I spent all the money I had making this EP. I handed it to BB King. He looks at it. He goes, who's got that Sharpie? And I go, no, Mr. King, that's for you. He said, I know who this is for, like that. And I said, oh, okay. I didn't know. I thought he thought I wanted him to sign that.
Right.
So then he gets the Sharpie. He says, I want you to sign this to Mr. BB King.
What a great dude.
And I go, oh, okay. And I'm shaking at this point. And I pull the thing out, sleeve out. And I go to BB King, Marty's first autograph I ever signed was to BB King.
Jesus Christ.
And I signed that autograph and I handed it to him. He holds it up like this. We take the picture, which sits on my wall right now. And he puts that in his pocket and he goes like this. I want to thank you, son. I want to thank you like that. And then I leave and I'm, just in tears, right? I'm just thinking, well, what in the world was this? And it was like God was saying, keep going, boy. I got something for you coming up. Just keep your head up. And to this day, that story still lifts my spirits every time I tell it.
How could it not? It would be cool, though, if you would have wrote, Dear BB, my music is better than yours, and then gave it to him.
He probably never would have read it. So I like to always think that he rode with that on his bus.
Oh, man.
Until he passed away, just sitting there thinking of that night. For whatever reason, he was connected to me, you know? So anyway, Proverbs 18:16 says this. This is my life in a nutshell. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. So you see my life, Vanilla Ice, B.B. King, Charlie Daniels, the list goes on and on and on.
Ralph Sutton.
The great Ralph Sutton.
Right? There it is.
This is White Buffalo.
I'm at the pinnacle of it right now, baby.
There it is.
All right, well, we have this thing that we do on the show, and it's called The First.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
Okay.
The name of the show is SDR, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We've asked every guest these questions since the dawn of time, and it is your first experience with all three. Starting with rock and roll, the first concert you ever went to, you said Garth Brooks, but is that the first one that you remember? That was the first country one? Like, what was the first one you really, like the first show you went to on your own volition?
The first one I went to on my own was, you mean one that my parents didn't take me to? Or somebody,
right. Oh, maybe one that, you know, I want to go see this. This is the show I want to go see.
Okay.
Hopefully something we know, not some local band or something like that.
No, I didn't go see any local band. So there you go. It's going to be somebody you know. I'm just trying to figure out who was first here real quick. I'll just throw one out that I think might have been first, and I'm going to say ZZ Top.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that a lot. That's cool. What's one band, by the way, that I never got to interview? I've interviewed so many bands, and that's one I never got to interview. That would have been cool.
Still got a chance, baby. Billy Gibbons still alive.
Yeah, so maybe it might still happen. It might still happen. You never know. So now – I don't know if you've done drugs in your life, but the question is the first drug you've ever done. And if you've not, you've done.
Never done drugs. So it's boring. It's a boring question.
It's fine. And then we ask about the first time you had sex. How old were you?
This is going to shock you probably. I was 19 or 20, I believe. Right.
That's not shocking. That seems, you know, I think the most common answer on the show is 17, but we had some crazy young ones, and we had some older ones too. We've had older as well, so that's not shocking. Was it a high school sweetheart? Was it someone you were in love with? Was it a one-off?
Oh, well, yeah, I was in love, actually. I ended up marrying her. She's my wife now.
Oh, wow. That's such a nice story. We've had that a couple of times on the show too. So that's also nice. Shannon, was it the guy from Styx?
Yes, Dennis DeYoung.
Dennis DeYoung, he married the first woman he ever had.
There were a couple other rock stars too. I just can't think of their names.
Yeah, good for them. Pretty cool. So that's cool. That's pretty
awesome. It is cool.
Yeah, I like that. But
we can't all be like Ralph. And what was your first? Huh?
I was 17.
Yeah.
What's funny is that it was I've told the story. The first episode of the show is we told this, Jay and I answered this questions for each other. Mine was really weird, which was she was my first girlfriend when I was 14. All we did was kiss. We didn't see each other for 3 years. And then I met her the night I was rented to her somewhere. The night I was graduating. No, sorry. That's a different part of the story. But I rented her 3 years later, right? For the first time, I hadn't seen her in 3 years. She comes back to my house because my mother was away. And I had a feeling we're going to have sex. But I didn't want to say anything that I'm a virgin because it would be embarrassing. So I just kept my mouth shut. And literally, it lasted like you would expect, 5 seconds. I finished inside of her. I could have had a 35-year-old kid right now.
Wow.
It lasted 5 seconds, right? And then I was mortified and didn't say anything. I drove her home, and we didn't really ever speak again, right? Before cell phones and stuff. So I ran into her again 4 years later, graduating college. She happened to be there in the college I was at. I was like, oh, my God, what are you doing here? And I was drunk. It was the night before I graduated. And I said to her, by the way, that was the first time I ever had sex. And she went like this. Oh, well, that explains a lot. And that was the great, that was the night. That was my first. There you go.
Hey, that's my story. You literally weren't very bright either.
No, and still am not. And still am not.
Yeah, well, hey. Yeah, that's the way it goes, I guess.
That is the way it goes. All right, so now the album 3 is coming out when?
We don't have a hard date yet, but it will be out this year. It was supposed to be out 3 years ago. And a lot of things get in the way of recording an album and finishing it and all these type of things. Because you want to have videos to go. That's kind of how you market an album nowadays. Mm-hmm. So you want to be sure you have enough money to make the music videos for the release, or at least for the songs. So that's really what held it back so long. So the plan is to have it out at the end of the summer. That's the plan.
And do you feel compelled to release a cover every so often because that's so expected, or you only do it when it's something that inspires you?
I release covers. I do feel compelled to release covers I do feel compelled to release covers because that's how people continue to discover me.
Right,
and that's how I get people to download my original music. So right. I feel, but eventually I will stop. I will just stop doing covers unless it is a song that truly just moves me that I've heard. And that'll probably always be the case. There will always be songs like more. I don't know if you know who Morgan Wallen is, but he just released a song that after all the situation happened with him, he released a song called I Don't Think Jesus Done It That Way. And I'm going to be releasing that song soon because I was practicing just today, actually. So there's certain songs you hear and you go, man, I wish I'd have wrote that. So when you hear it, you want to do it. That's kind of, that'll always be the case, I'm sure.
That's cool. Do you have a list of, a bunch of ones already recorded that are being waiting to be released, or you just record them and release them as they happen?
I have a couple. I really release them pretty quickly after I record them, but I have a couple in the can. One of them is a very popular song called Dance Monkey.
I don't know if I know that song. I don't, my musical knowledge has been shit this episode.
Yeah, really? Well, it's a young person song. You got to be on TikTok to really know it, I guess. Does Shannon, do you know it? James, you know it?
I don't, because I'm secretly 75 years old.
I don't, but I do appreciate you referring to me as a younger person.
Well, James, I know you have to leave also. So I loved having you on, Marty. I'd love, if you ever come to New York, I would love you to come in the studio and we have you do that live. That would be amazing. Let's say that, James, you want to do your plugs first? I know you have to leave, and then we'll do Marty's plugs.
I appreciate it. Marty, you're the best, dude. This was so much fun. We needed you on the show today. I just want to know that. Be James Pattern, but with an M on Instagram. My new podcast, Thanks for Coming Out, a podcast about bombing. Me and Shuli Agar, formerly of The Stern Show, we talk to comedians about bombing. We just tell war stories. It's the best. And my album, The Check Spot, is still out there, and the video portion of it should be out in the summer. And it's just me doing comedy while people pay their bills. The worst part of the comedy show. It was voted Album of the Year by the Intero Bang. Bow, 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 bow. Thank you all.
James, one sec, real quick. You said that your podcast was called what?
Thanks for Coming Out, a podcast about bombing. We just interview, we just talk to comedians. We'll eventually have other people and artists talk about bombing in their aspects. But right now we just have comedians. We just tell like war stories of bombing on the road and the worst times we've done stand-up.
I was on a show. I thought you said Art of Bombing, and I was on a show called Art of Bombing.
And
are you involved with that now? So
no, but you're going to have to come on this one. I mean, I'm sure you haven't had too many bad gigs, but we'll get out of you.
Yeah, no, I that's what I told him. I said, I don't really know about a show. I don't really bomb. So good luck. Yeah.
So Marty, you're at Marty. James, we'll see you later. No, you got to go.
Guys, thank you.
Marty Ray Project on Instagrams and Marty Ray Project on YouTube and everywhere you need to find you. It's all Marty Ray Project. And the album is coming out soon. I read that there's some movie or TV movie that you're working on called Liberty Crossing. What is that?
Well, that's been in the works. That was some guy, the director of that movie, the facilitator of that movie. That happened 2 or 3 years ago. He hired me, or he selected me. I say hired. He didn't really hire me because I haven't got paid nothing. Oh, the movie's never happened. I don't know if it ever will. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But I did just have two of my songs, Ranger and Bleed, placed in a film called No Vacancy that's coming out soon. So y'all be looking for a film called No Vacancy. It has has Dean Cain in it. The old Superman.
Yeah. This is the only time in the podcast we let Shannon on camera. Go, Shannon. Give us your plugs.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is. Ding. I'm actually wearing my own merch today. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting people come on. Comedians, musicians, porn stars, reality TV stars, etc. And they tell their own personal stories about their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and any encounter with what they believe to be the paranormal.
Okay. And we usually try and take a gamble as to whether or not our guest believes in ghosts. And I don't give a response yet, Marty. I'm going to say absolutely. What do you say, Shannon?
So because of his religiousness, I feel like it's throwing me off a little bit, but I'm going to say yes, but I'm not 100% sure.
Marty, do you believe in the supernatural?
I believe in the Holy Ghost. You know what that is?
I know what that is. So I guess it's a kind of a yes.
I believe in angels and demons. 100%. Yeah, okay. I know for a fact they exist.
All right. That's fair enough.
So what people think are ghosts, I just think are angels either angels or demons, one or the other. That's kind of how my belief is.
I will allow it. I take that as a win in my book.
A win for me.
Yeah. Well, hey, I don't know why they don't let her on. They don't let you on camera.
Her, this old bag of bones out here.
You might get more viewers if that was the case. I don't know.
You should tell you. I'm sure you have fight stories too. So maybe one day you'll go on her show as well, and you could see that face the whole freaking time, right, Shannon?
I will go on any show somebody would have me on. I'm honored to go on any shows.
I'd love to have you on.
All right. Stop poaching my guest, Shannon. All right. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness that I do with the founder of Juice Press comes out every Monday, called the Good Sugar Podcast, which is now in the top 100 of health and on iTunes. This podcast in the top 100 of comedy. So we thank everyone. Ooh, what happened to my voice there? Well, thank everyone for being part of this and supporting it. We add a song of the week every week. You said, what did you say? Which one just got put into a movie? Was it Bleed? What?
The Ranger and Bleed.
Let's add Bleed to the playlist, the scrshow.com/playlist. Not that your songs need any help from us, but Marty Ray, honestly, dude, this was a goddamn, I shouldn't say that. This was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show, dude.
Y'all are all blessings to me. And you be sure and tell James I said that too.
We're going to tell James you hated him. We're going to tell James you hated him.
How often do you tell a man you love him?
Often, actually.
I love you.
I love you too, man. I will say this. I didn't know what to expect from you. I watched some interviews with you and it made me like you. And I knew, I was like, all right, I'm going to really dig this dude. And I'm glad you're on. And I really do hope you come on when you're in New York City.
That's going to happen 100%. Why don't you just set up a show and we'll do a show there and we'll do your podcast while we're there.
It'll be me, you, Shannon, White Buffalo. We'll get everybody on.
White Buffalo, the whole crew back together. Yeah, the band is back.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for coming on.
All right. God bless y'all.
Be good.
I don't want your love.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.